In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good evening, everyone. Continuing our study, Second Peter, and as we said, we have pretty much 3 weeks to finish chapter three, and then we move on with another study with the beginning of the Lent. So the Lent, God willing, starts Monday, the 11th, March 11th, So Sunday the 10th will be the Sunday before what we call Sunday before Lent, and then Monday the 11th will be the Lent till May 4th, right? Easter, Orthodox Easter is May 4th, so May 5th, Sunday, May 5th, God willing. Also this season, this coming Monday, another thing that we celebrate 2 weeks before the Lent, which is the Jonas Fast. The Jonas Fast is originally taken from the Syrian church, from the Syrian Orthodox Church. At one point, one of the patriarch was Syrian, so he brought it in, said, oh, sure, we'll take it. We would love to fast, so we'll just add another 3 days fasting on top of what we have. So, yes, they took from us the 3 days that we fast extra for moving the mountain, Al-Muqattam, and then we took from them kind of like, okay, you know. Yes. But we did not quit the 3 days of Muqattam. We just, no, we never quit fasting. We keep adding, remember that. We keep adding things, you know. If we want to add more and more, we will do. So that's where we add God, by God's grace. We'll start, you know, with the Lent, another study. We're still kind of praying and seeing what should we study during the Lent. Just to share with you another thought that came, which is maybe take one of the major prophets, but not as we do. We'll change the style. So it'll be more of what we call the thematic study more than verse by verse. I mean, if we take Isaiah verse by verse, we'll need, you know, 10 years probably to finish it. So, but we're thinking of something like that. So let's just keep praying. Maybe take one of the major prophets from the Old Testament and have do like what we call the thematic study. So we'll still have like 6-7 weeks of study, but going basically on the themes that are covered in the book itself. It's a beautiful way of studying and a little bit changed from what we're doing. So, you know, just think about it, you know, share your thoughts with me 100%, and we'll see what God wants us to do. Second Peter, again, three chapters. The first chapter is who we are, what we have. Again, remember the promise, the power, and the what we have in the Lord. Second chapter, the characteristics of the false teachers and false teaching. And remember, as we said, again, not just false teacher that they are from the outside. We can be, and we can fall into that kind of teaching, right? By our own thoughts and by our own mistakes. And then coming chapter three, the end of the chapter, which talks more about the end of the day, the end of the days, right? The judgment. So kind of brings it in, and you can see probably after the first five verses or seven verses, maybe even five verses, then goes on very, very parallel to the epistle of St. Jude, very parallel to that, right? So we kind of like, you know, go through it, but let's take first the introduction of chapter three, because it's very, very clear, the message that's there. Right, and again, remember, he started by saying, you know, what you who we are, and we have all the grace and all the power and all the faith. And then he started to kind of like, you know, but be careful, you know, stay awake, right? Stay awake for that, and you cannot forget that thing. So let's read the first 5-7 verses, and then we dig into it and see again what will God give us today, all of us together. Again, reading from the ESV here. In the name of the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 3 from 1. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind, or pure mind, in a different translation, stirring up your pure mind, your sincere mind, by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. And we kind of mentioned this real quick last time, right? The three sources: the prophets, the commandment of the Lord, and commandment of the apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers or mockers will come in the last days with scoffing. Mockers will come with mockery. Right? That's kind of like a playing on the words here. Following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Forever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact. This is a very important verse. They deliberately overlook the fact, or here, for they willfully forget, or in another translation, by their choice being ignorant, willingly being ignorant. So the words are very important here also. For they deliberately overlook or willingly forget, or by their choice being ignorant, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Let's just stop at this here and see what's happening. So again, as it's clear, he is steering up their mind, and we'll talk about this for one reason, and for what reason, and for the sole reason that, remember, as we said again, the whole chapter 2 is people are saying he is not going to come, right? And the question that even said that, okay, you know, you know, he's been saying this for thousands and thousands of years, and that never happened. So it's all kind of like a big scam, basically. You know, just do whatever you want to do, live your life, and forget about this. But it's interesting how he starts this is now the second letter that I am writing to you. So here, by the way, another proof that Peter is the writer and the author of the second epistle, and that he wrote two epistles. For what reason? In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. You know, again, remember, be careful. Here it says sincere mind. Here it says pure minds, right? Again, it's just a little bit of difference in translations here. Mind, minds, pure, sincere. But what is he trying to say? Why is this verse as the beginning of what he is going to explain is very, very important. Why is that? Thoughts. Yes. Yes. He's telling them what he's going to tell them. That's one thing. But into it, there is something else that's very, very important also. What do you think that is? Okay, so that is a repetition or continuation. For what reason? For what reason? It says it right in the text. What is he trying to say? What is he trying to tell them?
Trying to inspire them.
Okay, inspire them is one thing. What else? Watchfulness. Just remember, just reminding them. As simple as that. Remember, right? Remember this. And it's very interesting concept, because again, you know, he wrote, he talked, he preached and everything, but then he's telling them, you know, by nature we do what? We forget. So just the simple fact of we need always a reminder. We always need a reminder. Well, I know everything. I know the scripture. I don't need to remember anything, right? And remembering or reminding them, meaning that he is in a way repeating. You know, how many times say, well, you know, it's the same message again and again and again, right? But sometimes we need to hear the same message again and again and again, right? Because it is important here to the reminder will keep us actually looking into it, will keep us remembering, and will keep us also doing something that's very, very important, which is acknowledging that we are in need to learn more, right? What do you think of that? How often we really struggle with the fact, like, you know, I think I learned enough, right? Or there's nothing more to know, right? Or if I know more, I'll get confused. So let's just, you know, let me settle with what I have right now. Because it says, you know, the more you know, the more you ask. So I don't want to be asked anything more. Let's just, you know, live this life that, you know, with whatever I have, that's enough. Okay. I was reading something about one of the philosophers. I didn't get the name, but says something that's very important. Says that there is two kind of being of ignorance, right? One is, again, not knowing, and one, as he says here in verse 5, that's why I said verse 5 is very, very important, is you are ignorant by what? By choice. Imagine that. Imagine that. Ignorant by choice. Willingly forgetting. We'll go through it again. The actual translation is willingly or by choice being ignorant. Right? One of the things that I was reading, it says, not ignorance, but ignorance of ignorance. Does it make sense? Ignorance of being ignorant. That's bad, right? Like, I have no idea what's happening at all. Like, you know, like, well, there's a lot to learn. Well, I didn't know that. Right? Not ignorance, but ignorance of ignorance is the death of knowledge. Is the right? And another way to look at this, another way to actually, you know, by that's why the reminder comes as a way to steer up that mind, right? So let's just, you know, throw it out there. What things that we do pertains to our spiritual life that we do in order to always remember? What do you think? Very, very practical question. Pray, one thing, right? Continuing to pray, continue to communicate. What else? Liturgy, very good. Service, church, right? Church, again, the house of the living God, the pillar, right? We'll keep saying this for the whole next year. This, not this coming year, this present year. The church teaches us and reminds us every time, right? That's why, again, we keep saying, if you come to attend, come from the beginning. Come pay attention to the readings, because the readings every time is a reminder, right? And probably said this before, somebody said, you know, well, I can read the readings at home. Right? It's the same reading. And the answer was the same. It might be the same reading, but you are not the same person. I'm not the same person sitting on my couch or in my bed reading and being here with the community, with the body, with his presence. Right? I'm not the same. I'm more attentive. God will give me more understanding, more hearing, more reminder. What else? Prayer, service, church. What else? Fasting. How is that able to steer up that and become that reminder? Connects you more. Exactly. You're forgetting more about the body, right? And living with the flesh. Not living for the flesh, but living for the spirit, right? So fasting. Again, this is a very good point, because now the things that we do that can be misunderstood, that we're earning our salvation by fasting, we're not. We're using what the church has given us in order to do what we want, to be always in that mentality and mindset of being aware, being awake, being remembering, right? When I forbid myself, no, I'm not going to eat this, I'm going to eat that. Okay, well, wait a minute, what is the purpose, right? Again, it's very easy to get into that without thinking and just becomes very, very, very ritual, very just about food. But no, you know, we need to remember all the time. No, it's not about the food. It's about, like, okay, I need to remember that it's not only, because that's what he said in the previous chapter, that everything comes and stems out of what? Remember, from the lust of the, or the, for the, for the desire of the flesh, right? And we said it's not just, you know, talking about, you know, sexual desires or anything. No, just being indulged in taking care of the body, right? So prayer, liturgy, fasting, what else? Icons. How is that? Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. So when I walk into the church again and see those, I can see those stories, whether, again, saints, lives of saints or stories from the scripture, these are all reminders, right? Say that's why we say we write. The person, the iconographer, is a right. He writes. She writes an icon, doesn't draw an icon. Why he's writing? Because it's a story. And when I see that story, I remember, right? Anything else? Online people have been quiet today. Share. Spiritual guidance, definitely. Being under the guidance of a spiritual father, spiritual mother, whoever the person is, right? But I'm not just going on my own all the time, right? Like, no, I have a certain scheduled time, whether that is through confession or through just a spiritual guidance, like, okay, what's happening? You know, I need some help, right? Sharing the good things and sharing the bad things. Not only, you know, we always have like that idea that when we go into confession or spiritual guide, we only talk about the bad things, the negative things. Like, who said that? No, right? No, God has been good to me, right? God has given me grace through this and this and this. So all those things are, that's how we need to remember this, right? If I may add something, all those things, again, which what you mentioned, Brian, which is, again, the body of Christ, the community, right? That's why, again, we keep saying this, and we've been talking about this when we were in the last mission trip. Again, it's not the person, one person, my own salvation. It's our salvation together, right? When we come here, talk, you know, each one say something, mention something like, oh, wow, it's not only me that I'm struggling with this. I can't believe that they said the same thing that I wanted to say, but I couldn't, right? So we're all coming together, right? And the Spirit, in the presence of God's Spirit, will teach us more and more and more. Right? Guidance, being all together. So that's why St. Peter here is starting with this. He's saying something that's very, very important, that be careful now. I am stirring up your sincere or your pure mind by way of reminder. But here now, he links the remembering with what? Read the text again. I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. So in order to remember, I need to have what? Pure mind, right? And that's another reason sometimes we don't even remember, because our minds are not pure, right? If we keep getting the message, but you know what? My mind is all over the place, right? I was looking more and more the pure mind. The pure is actually more of the two things: the heat that purifies, and there's another interesting etymology of the word which talks about the rolling process, which comes from being things being separated or sifted by rolling, as in a sieve. You know how you start to roll things, right? In order to get the impurities, right? Remains and or goes down, and then everything else stays there. So again, sifting our thoughts, right? And that's another reason. Again, a lot of times we have the challenge of, I really cannot understand the scripture. I don't know. I read, but I don't understand. And there is a big, big reason here, because we are not trying to, by God's grace and by God's power and by God's Spirit, we're not trying to purify our minds. So if the mind is not pure, how can I receive the reminder, right? And that's a whole big thing, you know, purifying the mind, right? Again, here, as I said, it's the mind, not the minds, because you're just being very, very, very focused on that, right? Yes, exactly.
From pure.
Yes.
When unfolded and examined by the light, by the sun's light.
Yes. Yes. Sun's light, in another dictionary, actually kind of argues it's not the sun's light, it's the sun's heat. Again, we don't want to get into details of the language, the linguistic, but the heat makes it actually more, you know, valid. Again, the point is, he's saying, you know, remember, basically. Why remember? Because we need to always remember. Remember what? That's what he talks about in the second verse. But that reminder, very practical aspect, what can we do in order to be always reminded? And the link between the reminder the stimuli and the status of the mind, purifying the mind. Well, how can I purify the mind? Again, by the things that we do, by the word of God itself, right? You are cleansed, you are pure because of the word that was spoken to you. And that's why he continues that. What is that reminder? That you should remember, again, remember what? The prediction of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. So here again, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. One thing that you take from this verse is what? Something that's very, very important here. Again, this is not just a verse that's there kind of like a, it's his, just he's just talking to them. What do you get from this? Yes, Karina.
When people say go and test your body, and they throw out
exactly
the baby with the bathwater,
yes,
and not look upon the Old Testament to help us understand the importance of.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Karina. This is very, very, very good example and good proof that it's all one unit. We don't say, well, we don't need the Old Testament, it's gone, right? Or I don't understand it, so there is no reason for it, right? He's saying here that that reminder comes from the Word of God, which is one unit, whether it is the Old Testament, the prophets, the Lord's commandments, or the apostles, right? It's all one thing, right? One message, one unit, right? So the idea of not really, you know, looking into or trying to avoid the Old Testament, or there's no need for it, or the God of the Old Testament was different God than the New Testament, all this is no. No. The Old Testament, again, as we said before, the one way to understand the Old Testament is we read it searching for Christ, searching for the Messiah. That is the whole thing. It's not a history book. It's not just an index of names or kingdoms or no. It all talks about the Messiah. If we read it through this, you'll find the Messiah even in the Numbers and the Leviticus that nobody can understand. So this is very important that he's saying that everything is together, right? This is how you should remember. This is the reminder is by the prediction of the holy prophets, the commandments of the Lord and Savior through the apostles. You see the continuity of this. Any comments or questions so far? So quiet today. Okay. Then he goes on to the actual issue, the actual problem. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Right? They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of the creation. So what is he saying here? Yes. Again, the warning that they are mockers that will come to mock, scoffers that will come to scoff, right? What is mocker? What is the definition of a mocker or a scoffer? What do you think? Yes, doubt, right? So that's one thing. Like, don't think, don't, no, this is not going to happen. That's not real. It's not the reality, right? Why? Again, because that's what they've been seeing, and they all went to sleep when they all died and nothing happened. Here we are again, right? What else? In a way, feeling ashamed, right? So you mock somebody, kind of like not just you're casting doubt, or you're actually making fun of the person, right? Like, I can't believe you do. You think of this type thing, right? So making me feel shame. Like, you know what? How can you look at this? And how can you think this way while everybody's living their life and looking at, You know, what you're wasting your time trying to wait for something that's never going to happen. Right? What else? Other thoughts?
So, I can give you the dictionary.
Go for it, Brian.
A person that causes repeated emotional pain, stress, or annoyance to another.
Yes. Yes. And it's interesting, and as I said earlier, this is the same, pretty much the same verse that St. Jude used. Jude 1, there's only one, Jude 18. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Right? It's very interesting. It goes parallel, you know, word by word between 2 Peter 3 and Jude 1. So he's telling them again, you have people that will always continue to mock you, right? Not just mock you, that you bring mockery, if I may say that, right? So it makes it even more intense, right? No, I'm a Christian person and I, you know, follow certain things. Good luck, you know, right? You know, I don't do this and that, you know, it's gonna make fun of you, right? And it becomes very, very, very actually heavy, right? Not only very heavy, as Stephanie was saying here, it becomes a reason for a person to doubt their faith. Like, is this really true, right? You know, and that's what we see nowadays, trying to kind of go around the scriptures and go around the commandments and try to bring something out of it so it can, you know, be politically right, right? And just let go of the actual meaning and the actual reason, right? And why all this? Because again, we are doubting and we are forgetting that there is judgment. There is a day that everything will come to an end. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? What do you think? What do you notice in this verse, verse 4? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? What are they trying to say here? What are they trying not to say here, if I may say this in a good way?
They deny the second coming.
They deny the second coming, right? They say it's not coming. Not only that, but there's something else also to continue in the verse, in the way the verse is written. Trying to put a doubt. Exactly, from the beginning, the first problem, the first issue, right? No, he's not coming. You know, he doesn't want you to be, you know, to enjoy. He wants you to do this and this and this, right? But there's something else also here that they don't mention the name of Christ. His coming, right? Don't want to even mention it, right? In Arabic, it's more apparent. It says, For us who understand Arabic, it says, there you go, verse 4, right? Aina huwa maw'ad magi'ihi, his coming. So it's like as if he is nothing. Don't want to mention his name. Where is the time of the Lord's coming? No, we're not saying the Lord. We're not saying Christ. We're not saying Jesus. We're not saying anything. His, just kind of like a, trying to avoid that name even.
Who should not be mentioned?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, he that who should not be mentioned, not even mentioning that, right? See how much that the name of the Lord can become even, you know, terrifying and bringing, like, I just want to even mention that name, right? What is that coming? You see all the mockery here, all the sarcasm, everything, right? You see that this is not words of God, right? And again, as straightforward as it is here, you know, the problem when it comes, the same message comes to us in a very, very subtle way, right? So maybe we're not getting that, you know, mockery right away that there is no judgment. Maybe that's not. But we can get the same message from everybody else, from the world that we're living under in a very subtle way. How is that? How can things kind of try to make us forget or doubt or not being reminded or ignore the second coming, but it doesn't come straight forward, because again, that's very easy now. Like, okay, if somebody comes to, especially us who are churchgoers, who we believe in the Lord, if somebody come and tell you, you know what, by the way, this is wrong, he's not coming, look, you're crazy, I know he's coming.
What comes also, Abuna, doesn't it also happen with the kind of like a sneaky way of making science gods? And if it's not, you know, what they call, quote, you know, scientific, then, then it's not correct. And they kind of look at you sideways when you say, which is very interesting, because in the next verse, he talks about how the earth is made, like it stood in the water.
Yes.
Now, of course, you know, now, of course, that conflicts with, you know, what science says today about, you know, the Big Bang and the evolution and all that good stuff. And of course, if you try to say that to anybody, they look at you like you're an idiot. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, I just get actually the same text, same thought from somebody else. You know, it becomes more magnified in a scientific community, right? If we're working in that, you know, all that science and theories and everything and universities and teaching and all those things, it's in a way kind of, you know, attacking that whole basic principle, right? Very, 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 very interesting and very subtle and very dangerous. Ryan, yes.
I know it's since I became a Christian in 2016, in a lot of circles, I'd say most circles, you don't say God.
You say God.
You don't mention,
right?
You know, that's why I had a side conversation last night at the board meeting.
About,
you know, how are you doing? I'm well, thank God.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I notice the
conversation.
Right. That is right. That
right.
It's important.
It is. So it is.
I try to remember.
And sometimes it makes, when you say it to, like, in a secular, you know, I was just like picking up something today, and then the guy, like, how are you? Said, I'm good, thank God. Then he looked at me, like, yeah, thank God. He like remembered, like, wow, you know, I can't believe somebody's saying that. it's very, very, very true. It's very true. And again, denying God or just not mentioning his name makes us actually not think of what is this all about, right? Very interesting. So science, society, communication with people, right? Our own thoughts, our own worries about, okay, what's gonna happen and what should we be ready for, and looking at our retirements and looking at, again, there's nothing wrong with being prepared, but let it not takes us away from the actual understanding and realization that the Lord of the day is coming. This is reality. This is reality. For they, again, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing can happen, right? It sounds very reasonable, right? Like, remember again, the way the early church used to greet one another is what? The Christian in the early era, the first century, when they used to greet one another, instead of, hey, how are you? What would they say? Remember? No. No.
The Lord is coming.
The Lord is coming. Maranatha, right? The Lord is coming. You know, they have this message and they heard it and they were waiting for it. So it was very, very, like, okay, very encouraging, very, very, the reminder again, Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Come, O Lord. Okay. Then you can see again, you know, humanity, you know, step by step it became, you know, gone, became history. Right? And it's in a way what we're seeing now, Ryan, just saying, you know, thank God, you know, just remembering that he is there, right? Imagine if we start to greet one another, you know, again, say, hey, the Lord is coming. Oh, no. Why are you saying this? Right? Versus, no, I mean, that's how the scripture ended, right? Amen, come. Amen, come. The bride and the bridegroom and the longing for that. That's what we'll talk about later on. But again, the idea is that, you know, to bring this, that's why, if you remember, we said First and Second Peter are very, very relevant to our day and age, very, very relevant, right? That you know, throughout our daily, you know, encounters, everything is trying to take that fact away from us, that, you know, that the Lord is coming, right? That's why, again, the beauty of the church prayers, when you come to the 11th and the 12th hour in the book of the hours, when it says remember, right? Okay? The litanies of the 11th hour and the 12th hour. Here the judge is coming, right? The just judge, remember my soul, what have you done, right? That's why when we pray Vespers, what do we pray in the Vespers? The litany that we pray in the Vesper is what? The litany of what? If you paid attention, the prayer of
the departed.
Thanksgiving, and then we say the symbols, and then we say the litany of the
departed.
The end of the day, right? Like, why are we praying for the dead now during Vespers, right? Because it's that reminder that as the sun goes down, well, our life can go down, and the whole world can go down, or will go down, not can, will go down. Right, and then we come in the morning throughout the whole church season on Sundays, except for 3 months, we read the first thing in Matins, we read the gospel of what? The resurrection, except for 3 months, which is the Hatur Amshir and Tuba Hatur Amshir, right? The 3 months that right around the nativity, and then during the Great Lent. But other than that, the church is always reminding us in the morning, right? Whether on Sunday that there is a resurrection, or when we pray our prayers in the first hour, again, that's the reminder of the resurrection. Right? So you see everything, the church is giving us everything to be reminded, right? To make sure, again, we go out and everything is telling us, no, it's not going to happen. Just live your life. Even if it happens, who cares? It's not going to affect you now. You know, just totally ignoring that, again, willingly ignoring that, right? But then you come and you connect and you see that everything is trying to put us like, wait a minute. This is the life. This is the reality. Any other thoughts so far? So remember, these are the false teachers that we're talking again. These people are, you know, during that time are the Jewish people, right? So they're talking about their fathers, again, fathers in general, like either the patriarchs from the beginning or their actual fathers that, you know, by nature that, you know, people are dying basically, right? And coming and going and nothing else is happening, right? Talking to one of my priest friends, and he was saying, like, we get so busy. And then he put it in a beautiful way. Actually, it's kind of funny, but it's convicting. Like, he goes, all what we do is we marry and bury, right? But then, like, wait a minute, you know, what else? That's not all what we do. That's not all what we should be concerned about, right? Okay. I was Wednesday, there was a funeral. Today there was a wedding. Okay, well, you know, I mean, that's the reality, right? But that's not it, right? This is all for a reason, for a purpose, right? And that's why he goes on in more details about that. But again, before that, he goes, and that by means of these, the word then existing was dislodged with water and perished. But before that, sorry, verse 5. For they deliberately, again, deliberately overlooked. So here, this is an important concept. That's why would somebody deliberately being ignorant? We kind of like touched on it in the beginning as we were talking today, but I want to go back to it again. Why would somebody intentionally refuse to know, refuse to face the knowledge or face the fact? What do you think? Just in general, kind of like as a behavior, as a psychology behavior. Sorry, 1 second. Go ahead, Albert. they're afraid of change, right? Afraid of change. So if I know again, I have to change. So in what I don't want to do this. Okay. Dream, what were you saying?
Just saying, maybe it's like living in there. They know it's a fact, but they don't want to like live it or feel it.
Just a denial of living that life. So don't want to hear anything of it. Remember, even if sometimes you talk about something like, okay, well, let me tell you, like, I don't even want to hear about it, right? I don't want to hear about it.
Right? But didn't Jesus say that they did not want to come into the light because they liked their evil deeds,
like their
and
darkness.
They enjoyed it.
Yeah. So that's very, again, remember when we were talking about this in the first episode, that they are what? Short-sighted and not remembering, right? All what you look at is under your feet. Right? So why would I remember something? Why would I want to know something that will tell me, you know, things going to happen? Like, I'm fine the way I am right now. And we really hear this, right? Like, well, remember so-and-so. There is this life is going to end. Well, let it end. I don't care. Right? Like, literally, we hear these arguments sometimes. Like, life is short and we need to change. Like, well, let it change. I don't care. I'm just going to live my days now and that's it. Well, there is another life. Oh. So where does this come from? Where is that attitude coming from? The one that I'm just talking about right now, because that's very important also. A person that again know, but again intentionally ignore because of what? Fear is something, but there is something more. Denial and despair, right? Like, I'm so in despair, no hope, to the point like I really don't care anything else will happen to me, right? All I want to do is just live this life now and that's it. Or if even I want to live this life, right? And that's even more and more, right? Just talking to somebody yesterday morning, like, okay, well, that's it. I don't want to live anymore. Please. I mean, these are happening. These things are you know, in the midst of us. And God forbid, can happen to each one of us to get to the point of despair. And you see, all what you see is darkness, and all what you see is no hope. And if somebody comes to tell me, you know what, well, there is a new life, well, keep it for yourself. Don't even tell me about it. A couple of weeks ago, I was visiting a family that lost somebody suddenly in a very, very, very dramatic thing. And the first thing the lady told me, don't tell me that he is in a better place. Okay, what should I say? God help me, please. Right? That's how despair we can get to. So don't tell me that there is judgment and there's kingdom and it's, you know, it's the beautiful, you know, place that we are dreaming of. Don't even go there. Literally, that's what I was told. Don't say that. I refuse that.
But isn't it also, Abuna, like a how, I mean, what exactly the story you're saying, and I'm sure it's very difficult, but it's also the holding on to what we can see, like holding on to what's here and now, and not the lack of belief too and faith that, you know, if I'm praying, am I praying to the air, or does God really exist and hear me?
Right. And that's why we look, again, you know, stories like that, you know, we let it go. Because, again, during that time, there's nothing else really to be said other than the grace of God that touches and gives, you know, comfort and gives hope. There's nothing, you know, no, don't say that. You're wrong. Absolutely not. You know, that makes things even worse and worse and worse. I guess I hear you. Just let it go. Just say it, right? Get it out of your system and let God. You know. That's why if you go back again to the text here, I'm going to jump little bit, but then, you know, with all that kind of harsh text that St. Peter is talking, and, you know, everything is going to dissolve, and the heaven, the earth, and heaven, and things are just going to be all gone. But then look at this. I'm just going to jump ahead, but it's very, very interesting and very important to read it now. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So in the midst of all that He comes and say, well, remember, we're not just saying things that, okay, God will come and set everything on fire and the whole world will dissolve. And, you know, if you're not ready, you're going to hell. And wait a minute, wait a minute. Let's not forget that the Lord's desire is for everyone to do what? To be what? To be saved. To be saved. This is who God is. Right? Maybe I don't see it. Maybe I don't, you know, look at it. Maybe I'm so much despair. Maybe I'm just so busy even to think about that. And all what I'm thinking about is my life and my work and my bank and my 401k and my children, my grandchildren. Well, just slow down. Slow down. Why? Because again, that he is patient towards you, not wishing that any one should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Right? That's what he wants. That's what he wants. And that's why later on we'll talk about it again more and more. I'm just going to jump ahead. In verse 11 it says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? That you are waiting and hastening, not only waiting, right? Imagine that. We're not just waiting, okay, like we passed the point of, well, remember that there is a judgment day and the end of the world and another life. Okay, well, this is a reminder. Now be careful, it's going to happen, okay? Now he gets them to the point of what, that we should be what? Not only waiting, but what? Can't wait, hastening, right? Again, the Lord is coming. Maran Atha, Ar-Rabb Qareeb, right? The Lord is near. So as we grow with that, and as we are keep reminding ourselves with that, we get to the point of, what? I can't wait for the day. Versus like, well, I haven't done 80% of the things that I have to do yet. Remember that movie, you know, that, right, the 10, what was it? I can't remember. The person that wanted or knew that she is dying, and then, okay, I'm going to write a list of the 10 things that I most want, right? And working on it, you know, parasailing, running down from or jumping from an airplane, right? Right? And then scratch one item at a time. So, well, okay, now I'm whatever. That's not what it is. And again, that doesn't come just right away. And that's why, you know, he didn't even start that when he started to talk about the second coming. He didn't start right away. He should be waiting and hastening. No, that's, you know, let me work you up to that point of, again, reminder, reading the scripture, the promises. He is not lying. Things, the reality is, things will happen, right? The whole world is, you know, by water, through water, was one time destroyed by water, right? But then there's something. For they deliberately overlook the fact that the heavens existed long ago and earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the word that then existed was dislodged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. This is a huge, big thing. And even the church fathers, kind of like, when you look into this, like, you know, he at one point when he says again after this, that the new earth and new heaven, what is that, right? What is that like? Like, and is there really a new earth, like an actual earth? And, you know, you look at those things and, like, nobody knows, right? But one of the things, the beautiful things that I was reading from the father says, we look at this not as a destruction for the world, but as renewal to a different status. That's beautiful. Because again, you know, all the terror of the destruction of the world and the dissolving of the element. But yeah, that will happen. But for what reason? For a better, as we read in Hebrews, you know, a couple of years ago, year theme, the better hope. Have a better hope. So if we look at it as if it is a renewal, right? That God doesn't create something that bad, that will go to nothing, but it will be renewed, right? To something that we cannot even fathom, cannot even understand. But I really, you know, even personally, I really honestly like that that thought, because I always thought, okay, things, the whole world is going to be destroyed. But when you look at it, like, not just the destruction for what, or dissolving, because he said that the text is interesting also, that he's talking about destruction to whom? Of the ungodly, in verse 7, right? But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire. So fire will consume that present existence, right? Being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Okay? So the fact again that there is a renewal, right? There's something better. What are your thoughts about this? I want to hear your thoughts. That's very true. Yes. The corrupted will be uncorrupted, right? The temporal will be eternal, right? Yeah. So there is beauty, right? There is renewal, right, of that. Since we're talking about this, and I know we have 6 minutes left, but I have to mention this because that's sometimes, you know, whether, you know, but it's a teaching out there, which is the rapture, right? And the Lord will come and will take those who are faithful, save them from the last terrifying time, right? And then meet with the Lord, right? Orthodoxy does not believe in that. We do not believe in the rapture at all. It's very interesting when you look at this, actually. When did that teaching of rapture came up, history-wise? 18-something. Look it up. So for 1800 years, the church never talked about that, never taught that. It's all about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, right? That we'll meet up, we're caught up in the clouds, right? Look it up. I know I'm entering a very sensitive territory here, especially for those who are not born in the church. But look it up. Look it up. Another interesting thought about it, that the rapture is people, the remain, right? Those who are left, right? Based again on Luke 17 and Matthew 24, right? That one will be taken and the other will be left, right? Right? So based on the text itself, who are the one that will be staying, the good or the bad? Are you sure?
The good will stay. The ungodly.
The good will stay. Right? Which is, again, is the whole idea of the rapture. Who stayed? Lot stayed. Right? Noah stayed. Right? Rapture saying that the good will be taken and the evil will stay to suffer and to go through the tribulations. The church never, none of the fathers, none of the church fathers, none of any scholar, not even church father, any scholar mentioned that. Till 1830 or 34, if I am exact. And people kind of argue more and more, it had more of political background and governmental, universal governmental thing and Zionism and a lot of things in there, right? I don't want to get into that. No. We have that time, and we are working and understanding that the day will come when the whole world will be renewed, will be consumed by fire. But again, that consumption doesn't mean it is going to be gone. It will be renewed to something better, to the heaven and the earth that we don't know what does that look like even, right? And you look at this and see again, and you read the text here, right? And even if you go back to Thessalonians 4, right? If you look at that after the fact that but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Here we're talking about, as the whole teaching and the whole Fathers talks about, that this is the final judgment, this is the final day when the Lord will come and take, right? And those who are alive will precede those who have fallen asleep. Then we are alive, who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will always be with the Lord. This is the final day. This is the final stage. This is not another stage before the second coming or something like that. Again, that's not it. That's not it. Why? Because again, that gives more understanding and more reason for what we live for, right? That we live and we go through everything knowing that he is with us, that he is the Father, that he is the one, as we said in the beginning of the epistle, that he is the one that is giving us everything to live a godly life. Right. And with that, preparing us for that day, even if we go through the troubles, if you go through the tribulation, because as we know and as we are reminded several times that we're not going to go through this on our own. Right? That he is the one that will keep us and strengthen us and be able to complete us and perfect us till we stand blameless, as he says, before him. Lots of thoughts, lots of things to understand and to pray more and to study more. Again, study more. You know, I'm bringing up maybe some points here in order to really search and look at it and see exactly. And see that the main purpose, again, as we said in verse 9, that he is not just waiting for us to perish, but what he's calling everybody for the repentance. For the repentance. Continue next Saturday, God willing. Should be here. I know we have the college retreat, but I will be back before for Vespers and Bible study, God willing. And the following week I'll be back also. So we'll continue. We're taking it sections. So we covered kind of like from 1 to 7 today. Next week, we'll maybe cover from 8 till 13. And then we'll finish last time from 14 till the end of the chapter. Final thoughts or questions? Okay. Well, let's pray then. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you give us, Lord, as a reminder that you are the Lord of Lords, Lord, that we are your children, Lord, waiting for your coming, Lord. We are your bride, Lord, waiting for the bridegroom to come. And we remind each other, we remind ourselves, we remind our families, our children, our society, that the Lord is near. Allow us, Lord, to be ready and to be joyful and to be waiting, Lord, hastening, Lord, for that time, detached from everything and attached to the one and the only one that is needed, which is you. Praying for my brothers and sisters, for those who aren't with us, for those who are struggling, for those who have no one to remember. Remember everyone with your mercy, with your love. The prayers of all your saints, hear us and say, our Father who art in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. May the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, the King of the Holy Spirit with you. Go in peace. Peace be with you all. Amen. And have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, Buna.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Buna.
Thank you.